I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be than anything this old world affords today. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do
Right, wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Garner. Great medley of songs. You know, I heard old preacher say one time that most of our problems are prayer problems. Sometimes we don't spend near as much time making contact with the Lord as we should. And you know, He wants to take care of us. He wants to meet needs. And I hope that if you're a young Christian in the Lord, that you'll take the advice of that song and take everything to the Lord in prayer. Acts chapter 9, if you would please with me this morning. Acts chapter number 9. I love this passage of Scripture. I preach from it quite often. Acts chapter 9. We're going to read the first 9 verses together. And while you're turning to your place, I want to speak to you this morning on an unscheduled appointment. An unscheduled appointment. Would you stand with me this morning, Acts chapter 9? Begin reading with me, if you would, silently as I read aloud in verse number 1. The Scripture says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord," that's Christians, that's believers, that's church members, "went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, followers of Jesus, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus," underline this because we'll come back to it in just a moment, "and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless," well, I guess so, "hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink." Now I want to take these verses that we've read this morning, and I want to speak to you on an unscheduled appointment. Paul had no idea that God had scheduled this appointment in his life. But God knew there was a scheduled appointment. You see, what I want to talk to you about this morning and get you to think about is God's not always going to send you a letter or an appointment reminder that he's going to meet with you, because many of his appointments are unannounced and unscheduled. Father, would you bless our time this morning and open our heart and our spirit to the truths that you want to help us to learn today. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, would you accomplish in our hearts what you desire? Would you accomplish by teaching us and guiding us in the way of truth this morning and bringing all things to our remembrance about what you've done in our lives, about salvation and about your goodness and grace? And then, Father, as my voice this morning proclaims the Word of God, may that still small voice of the Holy Spirit supersede my voice and speak to every heart of every person here this morning. And we'll give all the glory and praise to Jesus, for it's in his name we pray it this morning. Amen. You can be seated. I think probably all of us have had, at some point in life, some unscheduled appointments. Some of us have had more unscheduled appointments than others. Some of us may have, just in the last few days, had an unscheduled appointment with a police officer you looked in your rearview mirror and you saw these lights coming on and he pulled you over. And he walked up and said, "Do you realize?" I love those words. "Do you realize?" You say, "Preacher, do you got experience in this?" I'm telling this story. "Do you realize that you were going such and such speed?" "Well, no, I didn't." "Well, you were." And you had an unscheduled appointment, maybe with a police officer, and an unscheduled appointment with a traffic ticket. Now, you didn't like it, but you know what? You found out that, I was probably borderline going over the speed limit. Hey, we know whether we're going the speed or right speed or not. And you had an unscheduled appointment. Maybe some of you this week had an unscheduled appointment with your boss who had to call you in and set you down and talk to you maybe about some of the things that are going on in the business, or maybe some of the way that you're handling things. And so maybe you had an unscheduled appointment with the boss. And anytime you have the boss say, "Listen, I need to see you after work," your heart all of a sudden picks up from 70 some odd beats a minute to about 150. Because first of all, you know why you feel that way? First of all, because you don't know what the appointment's about. Because it's unscheduled, unannounced. Second of all, in your mind, you know what you do? You think of all the things you've ever done since birth. Right? You're thinking about, what does he want to talk about? What have I done? And you begin to just go over and over and over in your mind about everything that you've done. See, some may have had an unscheduled appointment with the boss this morning. Some, if you have not already, may have an unscheduled appointment with a tragedy in your life. I'm looking across this congregation at many people that understand what hurt's all about. I'm looking at many people here today that understand what a crisis is like, what a tragedy is like. I think this morning, as right before I came to our prayer meeting, I got a phone call about 10 till 9 this morning from one of our dear families in our church. For those of you that are visiting with us, you won't know this family, but they have a four-year-old little boy that contracted a disease called HLH. This little boy has been in a hospital now for months and months and months. They transferred him to Cincinnati, Ohio, to another hospital trying to do something to save his life. She called me this morning. She said, "Preacher, please have the church call Jacob's name out in prayer. The doctor said that the next 2 or 3 days are crucial in his life." Crucial. You see, as she began to talk to me about that, and as her pastor, I began to hear those words, and I began to think to myself, what am I going to say? What do you say to someone? I don't understand. I've never been there. I've never been in that situation. Do you think for 1 second that Brother and Mrs. Pham realized that they at some point in life would have an unscheduled appointment? They didn't think about it, but they find themselves in a situation right now. I just wanted to give you those things to think about and chew on, because I want to bring your attention to the message and to the passage of Scripture this morning. For those of you that are familiar with Scripture will know the story well. Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a very well-educated man, a very passionate disciple of Judaism and the ways of Jewish hierarchy. At this time, Saul was a one-man terrorist to the church and to the saints of God. If you'll notice there, the Scripture said that he desired letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if they found any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He had taken upon himself the desire. He had taken upon himself to be a one-man wrecking crew of the church and a persecutor of believers. You see, he would have imprisoned the people of God. He would have tortured them. And the Scripture says that he breathed out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. You see, the followers of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ were in fear for their lives. But it was the apostle, or not at this time the apostle Paul, but Saul of Tarsus had a great desire to exterminate this movement and eliminate the name of Jesus from the lips of everyone in Israel. Saul had no sympathy for the followers of Jesus. He could care less whether they were men or women. Hey, listen, it wouldn't bother him to imprison a daddy and kids be raised without a daddy in their home. It wouldn't have bothered him to have a mother executed and kids grow up in life without any mama in the home. It didn't bother him. He was ruthless. You may ask your question, preacher, why would God allow a man like this full of hate and brutality? Why would God let a man like this live? Why didn't God just kill him and be done with him and free people, the people of God, from persecution and all the torment? Why didn't God just kill him, preacher? I wonder how many homes and families that Saul of Tarsus had destroyed. I wonder how many wives were without their husbands and kids, without their mothers, because of this man and his brutality. He was a brutal individual. In the eyes of many of us today, many of us would look at Saul of Tarsus and say, what value does he have? This man deserves to die and go to hell for what he's done. But may I say to you this morning that many of us saw a man that was deserving of hell, but God saw a soul that was deserving of heaven. You see, we looked at all of these bad points and all of the things that he had done against people, and we came to the conclusion, this man is worthless. This man deserves everything that he gets. He deserves to go to hell. But God looked at a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, who had persecuted the church. And instead of choosing to set him on a course without God in hopelessness, the Lord decided that he would have an encounter with the most vicious and violent man of that day. You say, "Preacher, can you explain that?" I can't. But God. And may I say to you this morning that God, for many of you in your life, had an encounter in your life at a point that you thought, "Why? What is God doing here? I don't know," but you better thank God that he found you somewhere on the path on your way to hell and came and had an encounter with you and scheduled an appointment with you somewhere along the way. You see, many of you may not have been as bad as Saul of Tarsus, but we were bad enough. What I want to do this morning, if I could, for just a few moments, is I want to examine, just a few moments, the results of this titanic encounter of Saul of Tarsus. First of all, I want you to look, if you would, in your scripture, and I want to address, first of all, his encounter with Jesus. His encounter with Jesus. By the way, he had never had an encounter with Jesus before. He had never had an appointment with the Lord before. He had no idea what was happening. But I want you to notice in the scriptures, if you would please, in verse number 3, the scripture says, "And as he, Saul of Tarsus, journeyed, he came near Damascus." And this is the first thing I want you to look at, because many times in my Christian life, in 27 years of being saved, God never had to send me a reminder about an appointment. He just made the appointment. He didn't have to remind me or schedule it. He could have it anytime. And I found out here, when we read about the Saul of Tarsus, look at what it says. It says, when God scheduled the appointment, it was suddenly. It was suddenly. There was no warning. There was no reminder. There was no set up time. I want to say to you that Saul of Tarsus, his encounter with Jesus came suddenly. It was unplanned by Saul, but planned by God. You see, God knew all along that this appointment would be set up. He had already, listen now, it's very important that you understand this. Jesus chose the circumstances of the encounter. Did you notice here that when Jesus encountered him on the road to Damascus, that Paul, or the Saul, I'll call him Paul half the day, but you understand who I'm talking about, all right? Give me a little grace there, okay? A little poetical help there. So what I'm saying is Saul of Tarsus was at the peak of his hatred. He was at the peak of his persecution against the church and against the people of God. So Jesus chose the circumstances of the encounter between him and Saul of Tarsus. He was persecuting. He was at the peak of his hate and his anger and his despising of the people of God. Can I say to you this morning that sometimes God, before he brings an encounter and sets an appointment up with you, he'll let you reach the peak of your life as far as what you're going through. You say, "Oh, preacher, I don't know if I can handle anymore." Hang on, you're about to have an appointment with God. Because sometimes he'll let you reach the apex to where you think you can't bear anymore. You see, Saul was at the apex. He was at the point of his hatred, of his despising, of his persecution. And God waited till this point, till these circumstances. And then the encounter came. You know, I meet a lot of people on a weekly basis. A lot of people done a lot of bad things. You say, "Preacher, why does God let some people reach a certain point before he finds them and he gets their attention?" I don't know, but listen, he's got a purpose and a plan, and it may be to bring more glory to him. So he let Saul reach a place of persecution and anger and bitterness and hatred. But I want to say, when Jesus has an encounter, normally it's suddenly, and guess what? He gets to choose the circumstances. I want to say, secondly, not only did he get to choose the circumstances, listen now, he chose the place. He chose the circumstances and he chose the place. And did you notice? It was an isolated place. He caught him on the road to Damascus. Why didn't he wait till he got to Damascus? Why didn't he wait till he got around all these people and then hang him out to dry? Why didn't he confront him publicly in front of all these other people when he got to Damascus? God chose the circumstances and God chose the place. He chose the place of the encounter. You see, for some of you here this morning that's had a sudden encounter with Jesus Christ, some of you, it happened sometime in the wee hours of the morning while you were asleep. You begin to toss and turn on your bed and you woke up and you were sweating and you sat up in bed and the Spirit of God began to deal with you about some matters of your life. You see, sometimes these encounters that we have with Jesus Christ are sudden. He chooses the circumstances and He chooses the place. Some of you He chose in the wee hours of the morning while you are asleep in bed. Some of you He will choose to meet with you and have an encounter with you as you drive to work tomorrow morning. He'll speak to you. I remember many times being under conviction prior to me getting saved. I remember many times on my job and when I would have a break and stuff, I'd go back into the break room and I had visited this church now for a couple of months and didn't get saved back. I started visiting in October, didn't get saved here until December. But I remember that during those break times, I'd go back and sit by myself. And man, I'm telling you, there was just something going on. You see, the Lord was scheduling, had an unscheduled appointment. He was guiding me and leading me to. You see, I'm just saying that this encounter that Saul had, it was a sudden encounter. But Jesus chose the circumstances. He chose the place. It was an isolated place. And then He chose the time. He picked the timing was exactly the timing that it needed to be. You see, most of us here today are on a collision course with Jesus. And He gets to make all the decisions. He gets to make all the choices about the circumstances, the place, and the time. I don't get to choose any of that. But I am here to tell you as a preacher of the gospel, there is an encounter coming. There is one coming in your life. And I want to say to you, first of all, it's going to be suddenly. May I say also too, that when you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, it's going to be sudden. And number two, it's going to be unforgettable. It's going to be absolutely unforgettable. Do you know one of the things that now at this time we find later on in life? Now the Apostle Paul, a great man of God, do you know what most of his sermon subjects were about? Right there. His encounter with Christ. He would many times over and over and over give his testimony about what Christ had done for him. He told them it was a sudden encounter and he never forgot it. It was unforgettable. He spoke of it the rest of his life. He referred to it in message after message. Listen, 13 books of the New Testament written. You know how many times that he makes reference to his conversion? Over and over again. Why? Because if you've ever had an encounter with Jesus, listen to me, it's going to be unforgettable. You'll never forget it. That's the reason I have some trouble. People say, well, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to heaven. Well, when did all that take place? I don't know. Where did all that take place? I don't know. When? I don't know. Listen, let me tell you something. Most of you in here, if you had an opportunity to come in contact with a professional athlete or the President of the United States or the governor, don't tell me you're not going to remember when it happened and where it happened. You will. If a person's been born again, listen, you may not know the exact time, but you listen to me, my friend, you will know the experience that it took place. It's unforgettable. Paul never forgot it because it was sudden. It was unforgettable. And may I say, it was life-changing. When Paul came to Christ during this encounter with Jesus, listen to me, he never went back. He never went back. Matter of fact, you say, but preacher, I know why he didn't go back. Because at one point, he was the one doing the hunting. Now that he's a believer, he is now the hunted.
That's why he didn't go back. Hey, listen, he could have gone back into the world just like any of us could have, but he didn't. Why? Because it was a life-changing encounter. You see, it was an unforgettable encounter. It was a sudden encounter. I just want to say to you this morning, dear friend, that if you've been truly born again, I promise you, in my case, December the 2nd, 1984, I sat here, when I came to church that night, I had no idea I was coming to be saved. And let me tell you something, as I sat in the pew back here and the preacher preached and the gospel went forth, let me tell you something, it was a sudden encounter. Can I tell you, it was an unforgettable encounter. Oh, it was life-changing. Yeah, it was life-changing. You see, Mrs. Badger, you were here all these years. You probably never thought about it. Here's this guy come to get saved, you know, and they just told me, hey, you need to get baptized after you get saved. Hey, listen, I was just naive. I just thought the preacher knew what he's talking about. So you know what I did? I just got baptized because that's what he told me the Bible said. So I got up in the Baptist, got baptized. I came back down, and my wife and I stood here. People went by and shook our hand, and Mrs. Badger probably came by and shook my hand, and she probably didn't think for 1 second, not 1 second, that it would all happen like this. Did you? I certainly didn't. But you know what made it all possible? Because of an encounter with Jesus Christ. And it was a sudden encounter, just like that. Hey, before I knew it, I was down the aisle and standing right here before one of the pastors of the church. I got saved. And listen, I'm thinking, what moved me down here? I'll tell you what moved me down here, the Spirit of God. Hey, let me tell you something. When I stepped out of that aisle to come down here, it looked like a quarter of a mile down here. You ever been in something, something's happening, and it seems like everything's happening in slow motion? It's like when I was walking down the aisle, it's like I was walking like this. That's how I felt. But let me tell you something. When I had that encounter with Jesus, I just want to tell you, it was sudden, it was unforgettable, and it was life-changing. Wait a minute, that's not the only thing that happened here in Saul of Tarsus' life. I said, first of all, he had an encounter with Jesus. Let me show you the second thing he had an encounter with. And you need to listen very carefully. He had an encounter with reality. He had an encounter with reality. You see, some of us need to wake up and realize we are living in a real world. That we are living in a depraved world. A despicable world. You see, When the Saul of Tarsus came in contact with Jesus, it was an encounter with Jesus. But look at verse number 4. And he fell on the earth, or to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You see, he came in contact. He had an encounter not only with Jesus. Listen to me, folks. He had an encounter with reality. Some of us need to wake up. Wake up. This is real. You know, people are really dying and going to hell without Christ. And yet, you know what? Very few people, even churches, won't even hardly say it anymore. Folks, there's a real place. There's a real heaven. Glory to God. But may I say to you, there's a real hell. Woe is me. And people are dying and really go there. We need to have an encounter with reality this morning. First of all, I want you to notice here that that Saul of Tarsus had an encounter with reality and realized that he was in opposition to Christ. He was in opposition to Christ. Did you notice there the scripture? Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He was in opposition to the Lord. Hey, listen to me this morning, folks. His actions opposed Christ. Hey, wait a minute. You said I thought he was attacking Jesus. Wait a minute now. He was actually attacking the people of Jesus. He was actually attacking the church of the living God. And yet the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Oh my goodness. Let's think about this just for a minute. That means if you attack the church, you attack Jesus. Amen. I said amen. You see, the thing about it is if you criticize the church, you're criticizing Jesus. Hey, I'm telling you, if you attack authority in the church, you're attacking Jesus. Amen. People don't like to hear that, but I'm just going to say it anyway. Because he said, why persecutest thou me? Wait a minute now. You know who he was mistreating? He's mistreating people in the church. And said, Jesus, say, listen, if you've done it unto the least of these, come on, help me now. You've done it unto me. You mess with my people, you messing with me. Hey, listen, I've got five children. I don't care. Listen to me. It doesn't matter what walk of life they take. You mess with my kids, you messing with me. I'm just telling you. You mess with the people of God, the church of God, the word of God, you're messing with God. Amen. It's right there. Read it yourself. Why persecutest thou me? You say, oh, preacher, I'm not messing with the Bible. If I mess with Jesus, well, then why did he say in the beginning was the Word? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You mess with the book, you mess with Jesus. You mess with the book, you mess with God. You mess with the church, you mess with God. I'm just here to tell you this morning that Paul's actions opposed Christ. May I say also his attitude opposed Christ? You know what he was? He had a bad attitude. I started to say he was a bad attitude Baptist, but he didn't become a Baptist till later. He said, preach, he wasn't Baptist by name, but bless God he was by practice, though. Go check it out. Yeah, he was Baptist by practice. You see, his attitude opposed Christ. You say, what kind of attitude did he have? He hated the church. He hated the people of God. He hated the Lord and everything that had to do with it. So his actions opposed Christ. His attitude opposed Christ. Listen now, his affections opposed Christ. Because you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to kill people. He wanted to destroy the church. Listen, you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to make little old kids without a mama or a daddy. He didn't care. His affections opposed Christ. Everything about him, he had to realize in that encounter, the reality was that he was in opposition to Christ. The reality also was that he didn't even know Christ. Hey, you know what? He knew all about the Old Testament scriptures. He knew all about the Sanhedrin. He knew all about the Judaism and Jewish hierarchy, Jewish ways and customs and all of these things. He knew all about that. Problem is, he didn't know Jesus. He didn't know Christ. You see, he was ignorant of his lost condition. He didn't even know he was lost. You say, well, where do you get that from? Well, look what it says. He said, who art thou? Who are you? He didn't even know him. He didn't even know who the encounter was with. He said, who art thou? You say, wait. Yeah, he did. Look, it says, Lord. Well, let me tell you something. What would you say if you heard a voice from heaven and didn't see anybody? Wouldn't you say Lord or God or somebody? Yeah, it'd probably make an impact on you, wouldn't it? I'm just saying, hey, he didn't even know Christ. But he had to come to the reality that his life and his sin opposed Christ and that he was without Christ. He was ignorant of his lost condition. He was dependent on his traditional upbringing. You know, people are going to die without Jesus and wake up in hell and don't know why they're there. Because they're saying, well, listen, I did everything the church told me to do. I did everything that a person that they held in high regard in spiritual matters, they said, I did everything they told me to do. I was at church. I got baptized. I might have even given my tithes and offerings to the church. But can I say something to you folks? You can do all of that and miss Jesus and split hell wide open. Because it's not in things. It's not in service. It's in a person. You see, Paul was dependent upon traditional upbringing. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord had an encounter. But you know what he had an encounter with? Not just with Jesus, but with reality. He came in contact with reality. That he was depending upon traditional upbringing. He was blinded by his success and power. Boy, this guy had power. You know what power will do to you? It'll destroy you. A person that can't deal with success and power, it will destroy them. You see, Saul of Tarsus was incorporating all of these things in his life. When he came to encounter with reality, he understood that his life opposed Christ, that he didn't even know Christ. And you notice something else? Look in verse number 4. He was helpless. He realized, he came to the reality, I'm helpless without Christ. The scripture says, and he fell to the earth. Well, I guess so. He was helpless. And may I say to you this morning that without Jesus, you're helpless. Hopeless. There's no hope without Christ after this life. You see, Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, he didn't even realize that his life, his lifestyle, his sin opposed God. His actions, his attitude, his affections. He didn't even know that he didn't know Christ. He was helpless without Christ. He fell to the earth. Look at what kind of lifestyle he was living. Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Look at this. He said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know, without Jesus, it's a hard life. The scripture says, the way of transgressors is happy. The way of transgressors, everybody's jumping up and down saying, it's glory to God I woke up this morning filthy and drugs and sin. No, it says the way of transgressors is, help me now, hard. Hard. It's difficult. And if you're here this morning without Christ, you know what? You may not have said amen out loud, but you said amen inside. Because it's hard. You see, Saul, at this point, had a life-changing reality check. He thought he was somebody until reality set in and he found out that he was nobody without Jesus. You see, he came in contact with holiness, divinity. And when he did, he realized, you know what? I'm nobody. I'm nobody. Well, he had an encounter with Jesus. He had an encounter with reality. Let me wrap this up and say this lastly. He also had an encounter with the future. He had an encounter with the future. Look at it, if you would, in verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, look at this now. What wilt thou have me to do? Folks, that's the future. He had an encounter with the future. He said, who are you? I don't even know you. He had to come in contact with an encounter with reality. And then he came in contact with the future. Can I say to you this morning real quick, God had a plan more important than his plan. And I want to say to you this morning, as a preacher of the gospel of Christ, and everybody look up here, I don't care how old you are, God's got a plan more important than your plan. He's got a plan more important than your plan. And you know what God had to do to show Saul of Tarsus that plan? He had to interrupt his life and implant the plan in his life. He had to make an unscheduled appointment in his life. God had to isolate Saul so that he'd listen. God had to initiate Saul's new life. You see, God had a plan more important than his plan. Most everybody thought, well, the plan, I'll tell you what the plan of Saul of Tarsus is, he's going to hell. God said, no, we're fixing to have a close encounter. And because of that close encounter, you know what? He was bound for hell, but glory to God, after he got up off of his face, he found out now he was bound for the promised land. All because he had an encounter with the future. God had a plan more important than his plan. I want to say that God had a purpose more important than his purpose. See, we think that we've already got our purpose in life figured out. It's amazing how God kind of does a U-turn on you. You ever done a U-ey in the road before? Now, normally when you do a U-ey in the road, you know what people are doing? What are you doing, man? Pulling out in front of everybody. I had to make a U-ey. God changed directions in my life. I'm no longer bound for hell. Glory to God. I've made a U-turn and I'm bound for heaven now. They can blow the horns all they want. They can scream all they want. They can mock all they want. Bless God, they can make awful kinds of fun that they want. But listen, this morning, you know what I'm compelling you to do? Make a U-ey. Make a U-turn. It's what the Apostle Paul did. Saul of Tarsus. God had a purpose more important than his purpose. You know what God had a purpose Saul of Tarsus had a purpose to go persecute the church. God said, no, I need you to evangelize the Gentiles. But what if I don't want to evangelize? I don't even like them. Doesn't matter if you like them. He had an encounter with the future. You think for one second when he's laying on the ground, what will thou have me to do? You think he's thinking, oh no, he's going to ask me to go to the Gentiles. No, not that. He didn't think that at all. God brought him in contact because his purpose was more important than his purpose. To start churches all over the region. Let me give you one more and I'm done. God had passions greater than his passions. You know what his passion was? Kill people. You know what his passion was? Stomp the church out. You know what his passion was? To make orphans. You know what his passion was? To make widows. That's what his passion was. Let me tell you something. God has greater passions than our passions. You see, Saul of Tarsus had a passion to persecute, but Christ had a passion to protect the people of God. You see, Saul of Tarsus had passions to permanently end Christianity, but Jesus had passions to promote the gospel. You see, Saul of Tarsus had passions of inflicting pain on the people of God, but Jesus had passions of bringing peace to the people of God. I just want to say to you this morning, some of you this morning, you came to church, you thought you're just going to come in here and the preacher's just going to come, say some sweet things, tickle you behind the ears, we're all going to go home eat roast beef. Pot roast, steak. Start to say steak. Most of us ain't going to eat steak. Some of us go home, and those of us that are on strenuous types of eating habits, we'll go home and graze a little while on some salad. And listen very carefully, and I'm done. Saul of Tarsus had no clue that he was about to have an unscheduled appointment. Now, I want you to listen to me, and I want you to listen to me well. Some of you here this morning, God sent you here for an appointment. You say, well, I didn't schedule this. Didn't have to. He did. Saul didn't schedule his either. God scheduled it for him. Listen to me. Don't leave without getting what God had for you this morning. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say, preacher, I'm a born-again believer. I'm a child of God. If I died today, heaven's my home. No question about it. How many would give a testimony? Slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. No question about it. I know that I'm saved. Anybody? Lift us way up high. Just lift it up. Lift it up. Lift it up. All right, wonderful. You can put your hands down. The Father, it's a wonderful thing to see so many hands of a congregation of people raised, knowing that they've been born in the family of God. Then, Father, I'm going to assume then that the people that raised their hand have had that encounter with Jesus. They've had that encounter with reality and realizing they were lost without Christ. And now, this morning, Lord God, that's been affirmed in their heart. I pray for them. I'm happy for them. But Lord, there might be some here today that don't know that, don't have that assurance. And you set in their life today an unscheduled appointment to be in this service for a reason. Please don't let them miss the point. Please don't let them miss what you have for them today. They must face reality. They must come in contact with their future today. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking but me. I looked around the auditorium just a moment ago. There were several hands that could not be raised. I want you to know for sure that you're going to heaven. I want you to know for sure that heaven's your home. You say, preacher, when you was preaching just a moment ago, talking about heaven, oh, I want to go there, but I'm just not sure. I have some doubt in my heart, preacher, about it. If you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I don't know for sure that heaven's my home, but I'd like to know. And you say, preacher, would you pray for me? I cannot honestly say that if I died this morning that I'd go to heaven, but I want to go, preacher. And I have some doubt about my eternal destiny, but you'd let me pray for you. No one's looking but me. How many would be honest this morning in church and raise your hand and say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure that heaven's my home. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. God bless you and you and you. Who will join these three? You can put your hands down. Anybody else, just slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up. Let me pray for you. Pray for you. Anybody else? We'll join these three. Anybody else? All right, then maybe you're here this morning and say, preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. It's what the Bible teaches. I've heard it, but I know it's the right thing to do, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. And you'd say, preacher, would you pray for me? I need to take care of that business for God. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Let me pray for you. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Say, that's me. Now, I've been saved, preacher. Never been baptized after I got saved. Anybody like that? Just slip it up. Let me pray for you. Slip it up, slip it up. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Let me ask you one last thing before we pray. How many of you are here this morning say, preacher, if for no other reason, God sent me here this morning for a reality check. I've come face to face with some reality in my life. I've come face to face now, and I can see clearly the future. God has shown me some things in my life this morning. I've had an unscheduled appointment. I've had a close encounter with Jesus and reality in the future this morning. And the Bible has come alive to me, and it's opened up. And preacher, I understand now why God sent me here this morning to this service. How many would say, preacher, that unscheduled appointment, that close encounter with Jesus and reality and future hit home with me today? And you say, preacher, pray for me. There's some things going on in my life today that God has revealed to me, and I've come and I've had a reality check this morning. You say, preacher, pray for me. I need prayer. Would you slip your hand way up high? I say, that's me. That's me. That's me. Slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up way up high so I can look around and see. God bless you all over the auditorium. Thank you. God bless you. Now, Father, I'm going to just turn the invitation over to you and let your Holy Spirit do His work. If people are going to come, you're going to have to draw them. If there are people that are going to come to the altar and pray, you're going to have to draw them. If there are people that are going to come this morning and have an encounter with reality about their opposition to Christ, and Lord, it may be a spirit, an attitude, whatever it may be, would you help us this morning? Would you bring us to that encounter with reality? Some don't know Christ. Oh, Lord, I want them to be saved so bad. I remember that encounter I had 27 years ago right here in this church. It was life-changing. It was unforgettable. It was sudden. And I pray that you do the same for many. Some need to come get baptized that raised their hand. I pray, Father, that they would come today and follow you in believer's baptism. Some, Lord, are seeking a church home. I pray that this morning, Spirit of God, if you speak, that they would come and abide by your voice and do as you direct them to do. And we'll give all the glory and praise for what you should do during this invitation time. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Now, heads bowed, eyes closed, would you stand with me? I'm going to ask our instruments to begin to play. As they begin to play, I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix if he'd begin to sing, "You Come This Morning." Some of you raised your hand and said, "Preacher, I need to be saved." Listen, God sent you here this morning for a reason. He made this unscheduled appointment in your life. Maybe some of you just going through a hard time and you're facing difficult times. Then you come. Whatever God would have you to do in your life, you come. If you need someone to pray with you, we'll get someone to pray with you. Whatever your need is, you come. You come. This is important. This is invitation time. Hey, folks, if nothing else, you ought to be at your pew begging God for the family and little Jacob. If nothing else, if you have nothing else to pray for, you ought to be on your knees. You ought to be on your face begging God for the life of that little boy. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking around. No one's looking. This is